Well, I really wish I had a voice that carries the way Preston does, so that all of you could hear me instead of struggling. But I got good news, and I forgot to tell you this. Mike has sourced and ordered a new microphone for me, so that it's going to make it a lot easier for these guys to turn up the volume without all the feedback. And hopefully you all will be able to hear me after that, and we'll continue to work on that. So thanks for your patience. It was Saturday morning as Jack, an avid hunter, woke up ready to go bag the first deer of the season. He walked to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee, and to his surprise, his wife Annie was sitting there, fully dressed in camouflage. "What are you doing up and dressed like that?" he asks. "I'm going hunting with you," Annie says as she smiles. Jack reluctantly agrees to take her along, and when he reaches the hunting site, he sets Annie up safely in a tree stand and says, "If you see a deer, take careful aim and squeeze the trigger. I'll come running back as soon as I hear the shot." Jack walks away knowing that Annie couldn't hit the Goodyear blimp, much less a deer. But 10 minutes later, he was startled by the sound of gunshots. He starts running back and hears Annie screaming, "Get away from my deer!" Just as he arrives, he sees Annie with her rifle trained on a distraught cowboy with his hands in the air saying, "Okay, lady, okay. You can have your deer. Just let me get my saddle off." Last week was Camo Sunday, and I'm still excited about that. But last week we talked about the coming year and how God wants us to do church well. And we talked about how God deserves our best. We talked about the huge blessing that we have in this building and a few of the different ministries in the church. We talked about seeing that vision of a thriving church and what that looks like. And we talked about how awesome it would be for this body of believers to all come together and to be working in unity for the same purpose and working in a way that was pleasing to God. Today, I'm going to continue along those same lines. Y'all got your camo prop, so keep a hold of that. But I want to talk to you about relationship camo. Now, I'm sure no one here has ever heard that term, and that's because I made it up. It's a good chance that I'm the very first person to ever put those two words together, and this is the first time it's ever been spoken. So this is history being made. You should appreciate this. Remember that, relationship camo. There are many kinds of relationship camo, but there's one specific one that I want to talk about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And just to give you a heads up, I'm going to cover a lot of scripture today. And I know sometimes that can be a little frustrating because it's hard to follow, so you may want to write them down if you're one of those people that likes to go back and look at all of them and take it all in. We're starting with Acts chapter 4, verse 32. "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Nor were there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, this first church was a Spirit-filled group who were accomplishing some really great things. You know, I read this and it's kind of amazing. This isn't normally what happens when you get a group of people together. You all know that. You know what happens. But we know it was a Spirit-filled group because, you know, we can look in Scripture and look at the day of Pentecost and see where the promised Spirit of God descended on the apostles and how that began to spread. And we can read about that. But there are a couple characteristics of a Spirit-filled church that I want to look at today. And the first one is this. It is a unified group. Let's flip back a couple pages to chapter 2 of Acts, and we're going to look at verse 44 through 46. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now, I am 100% certain that there were things that they could have disagreed on. But they found unity in the common purpose of Christ. And I want to be honest with you. I've been starting to see some unity form in this church, and I'm excited about that. Unity is the product of a church that is led by the Spirit of God. Second thing is this. They had the favor of the people. In verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all people. You know, no matter what we do, we're always going to have opposition. We can't change that. There will always be opposition to God's church. But when the Spirit of God is leading, it's going to demand attention from others. And when people are acting out of the love of God, it'll gain favor with those that are watching. Third thing is this. God was multiplying the church. Picking up again in 47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. When you found favor in your community, in your area, they're watching. And when they see God's love in action, they want to be a part of that. And people are saved as a result. I don't know if you're aware of it, but we have four or five people right now that have said they want to be baptized, that have made a commitment to a changed life. And I'm excited about that. God's beginning to move in this church. And I say beginning to because I believe with all my heart that this is only the beginning of what God's going to do here. As we look at the first church, I find it so awesome that everything they did was out of the spirit of love. They were under no obligation to do so many of the things that they did. They sold land and other possessions. They gave the money to the apostles to be distributed wherever the need was. And they did it because they were following the Spirit of God. They weren't required to do that. The Spirit of God was working among that group. I'm not here to tell you that we need to sell our stuff and bring all the money here. I don't think we're under any instruction to do that. And I don't believe we need to. But I do believe this, that we could learn a lot from the generosity of that group. The sacrifice they displayed was absolutely amazing. What I want to see today is, even though we're headed in the right direction, there are still some things that we need to change within ourselves. In verse 36 of chapter 4 of Acts, we read about the man Barnabas that we already talked about. And we read that Barnabas means the son of encouragement. And he sold some land that he owned, and he gave the money to the disciples and you know, to be distributed to all as they had need. And judging by this name that he was given by the disciples, I would guess that his actions greatly encouraged that group of people. The New Testament is full of acts of encouragement that came from Barnabas. But that's not what we're here to talk about. If you would, flip a couple pages again to chapter 5 of Acts. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Acts. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And they kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Let the feet of those who have buried your husband, are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Now, as I was preparing for this, I was reminded of something. On the back of our house, we have a really large patio. And it had one of those old aluminum awnings on it, and it wasn't in very good shape. It was kind of hanging a little crooked, and I was afraid the wind was going to blow it off. So Leslie and I talked, and we took it down, and we put up this big porch roof, you know. And I don't know how it is at your house, but at mine, you know, it's like every big project. There's only one thing I hate more than all the work and attention that it takes to get something like that done, and that's paying somebody else to do it. So, needless to say, I did it myself. I got it up there, and, you know, I'm not totally done with it, but it's close. But as I was standing there, and I'm looking at this, you know, this structure and all the things that I still need to do for finish work, and I notice all the siding on the back of the house is horrible. I mean, there, you know, from the previous owners, there's nail holes and screw holes all through it, and there's still all the screw holes from the awning I took down. And then there's this nice spot where my wife got the grill just a little too close to the siding and melted all of it. You guys are laughing. You must be familiar with this. But Austin and one of his friends helped me tear down all the old siding so we could replace it. And we got that siding off, and our house is really old. You know, it was, I couldn't even tell you how old it is, but with that siding off, it's like, boy, there is a lot of ugly back there. You know, all that peeling paint and, you know, wood that doesn't look all the best. And, you know, we fixed it all up, put the new siding up. And I came to this conclusion. Vinyl siding covers up a lot of ugly. But The ugly's still underneath. And I know it's there. You see, just like Ananias and Sapphira couldn't, we can't camouflage anything in our relationship with God. We can't cover up anything in a way that He can't see it. You have to remember that their sin was not withholding money. It was lying to the Spirit of God. Pride made its way into their heart. You see, because of pride, they thought it a good idea to pretend to be something that they weren't. Maybe they saw Barnabas get some attention for his generosity, and they said, wow, we want that too. But they didn't want the sacrifice that went with it. They were concerned with their reputation, but not their character. And what they ended up doing was robbing God of the glory that He deserved. It's a problem when the people of the church are more concerned with looking good than their character. And they're willing to compromise that character to look good before others. I seem to remember another biblical account where pride was an issue and godly character was compromised. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says this, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the furthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." 1 John 3:8 describes Satan as the originator and chief practitioner of sin. And the wicked one in 1 John 5:18. John 10:10 says that he is a thief and a destroyer. Revelation 12:9 calls him a deceiver. And John 8:44 says he's a murderer and a liar. But you see, the hard part is, Satan is so subtle. Just like with Eve in the garden. You all remember that? It's in Genesis 3 if you want to read it later. Satan's deception can be so smooth. He begins to implant a little doubt. He gets you to question whether or not God's plan for your life is really your best option. Does He have your intentions in mind? My point is this. It isn't always easy to see Him coming. He is a master of deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says this, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." You see, Satan is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And it's time that we claim the victory and cast him out of our lives and out of this church. We can't serve two masters. Today I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little out of the ordinary. But as you're sitting in your seats, I want you to picture yourself standing out in an open field, totally open field. And you're wearing a neon green illuminated jumpsuit. Can you picture that? I know that's a lot. I want you to picture that. There you are. And I gave you all a little piece of camo earlier. You know, and Robin told me that it wouldn't cover anything, and it wasn't. She was going to have to sew some together. But that's my point. Can you picture yourself trying to take that piece of camo with your neon green illuminated jumpsuit and trying to hide yourself from God? That sounds silly, doesn't it? That's because it is. It can't be done. I ask that as you continue to sit in your seat, that you take a quiet moment. Ask God to speak to your heart. Ask Him if there's anything that He would like for you to change. Just take that moment. Ask if there's any changes that God wants you to make.